Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. We are going to start our meeting for the Community Benefits Oversight Committee. We have a quorum?
Yes.
We have a quorum. All right. And we also have one of our members who's online. That's Franchelle. How are you? Can you hear us? Oop. She can't hear us.
Reverend Blue, we are having some technical difficulties with that, so
we'll go forward.
Yep.
Okay, approval of the minutes from the previous meeting of March 17th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second, thank you. Old business. We have a go ahead.
I think we're supposed to vote.
Okay, oh, I'm sorry.
You're right, we kind of went a little fast.
Okay, I'm sorry. See, he just lost Eric. Okay, we have a motion. We have a vote on the motion to accept the minutes.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed or abstentions? Ayes have it, so ordered, thank you. Old business, who wants to start?
I'm happy to start. Okay, so we laid a resolution on the table at last month's meeting, and with some minor amendments, that resolution is up for adoption at today's meeting. I definitely want to move in favor of adoption of the resolution, Reverend Blue, and then I'd like to just make a few comments.
So, all right.
I move to adopt the resolution.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's a motion, a second to adopt the resolution. All in favor?
On the question first.
Oh. Okay.
Just
we have discussion.
Yes, please.
Let's open discussion.
Yes. So,
oh, you know, absolutely. Okay, thank you. Did you hear we just approved the motion to, okay, we're for discussion now on that motion.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So for the benefit of the public, the purpose of the resolution was to name and officially adopt community vulnerabilities and priorities for the 2025-2026 fiscal year for the developer. And as part of that resolution, we have identified that all things related to youth will help serve as the community vulnerability and priority. And at last month's meeting, we talked a little bit about how we arrived at that, all of the variety of things that went into that. Which of course included the themes, the very strong themes that originated from the public hearing that was held last December, as well as the research of the small working group that was conducted and the development of criteria that helped to identify why some things should stand apart. So I feel very strongly that the resolution represents an accurate reflection of our community needs. And I think to that point, Reverend Blue, and to the other, my fellow members, I wanted to just read for you a quote from the Surgeon General's warning. In December of 2021, Surgeon General issued an advisory about the state of the nation's youth. And I just wanted to read from it, Reverend Blue, because I think it helps to shed light on why this committee arrived at the conclusion that it did. So it says, every child's path to adulthood, reaching developmental and emotional milestones, learning healthy social skills, and dealing with problems is different and difficult. Many face added challenges along the way, often beyond their control. There's no map and the road is never straight. But the challenges today's generation of young people face are unprecedented and uniquely hard to navigate. And the effect these challenges have had on their mental health is devastating. And then he goes on to say that we also know that too often young people are bombarded with messages through the media and popular culture that erode their sense of self-worth, telling them they are not good-looking enough, not popular enough, smart enough, or rich enough. That comes as progress on legitimate and distressing issues like climate change, income inequality, racial injustice, and the opioid epidemic and gun violence also feels too slow. I lift this up because I wanted to reflect on, again, all of the comments that we heard from the public during the public hearing, all of the research that we did, and really the warning that the Surgeon General issued two and a half years ago, Pastor Blue, and I feel like it accurately reflects the objective and the purpose for why we felt it was important to move forward with naming youth as both a community vulnerability and a priority. And just for the purposes of the developer, I wanted to point out that this particular advisory from the Surgeon General has a very specific section, a table of contents, where it identifies, you know, things that local government can do, but very specifically things that funders and foundations can do. So it might be of a particular value and importance to the committee, and I felt it was an accurate reflection of the sentiments we shared as we were working our way through this process.
Maria, did you
and,
want?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to acknowledge the developer's willingness to work with us on this. I think we had some very fruitful conversations. Really, a kudos to Penny. He really stepped up to the plate, and we had a lot of hard conversations before we got to where we are today in this resolution. And you know, this resolution truly demonstrated the deep and meaningful engagement with the community and throughout the public hearing process. And I think it sends a very clear message to the community that not only did we have this hearing, but we welcome their voices and we genuinely value all the comments that were made. And it also gave us the foundation to start working on the theme that we want to focus on this year, which is youth services. We have seen a lot of issues in the community that we heard from that public hearing, and we feel like the focus on that will assist with our commitment to address some systematic challenges at their roots, rather than just treating them as symptoms in the community. And we also believe that with integral this approach will allow us to send a message to the developer that this is what we as a CBOC would like to see you focus on moving into next year. And this one thing I want to also acknowledge is that even though we have this resolution and we're asking the bills to focus on young people this year, there are other services that has been communicated to us that the bills actively take on every year, and we want to make sure that we acknowledge that and commend them for that and the willingness to make this a priority this year.
Thank you.
Reverend Blue?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to also voice my support for the resolution. I think the focus on youth is actually the focus on the future. And I think that sort of helps set a North Star for this board and for the CBOC. And, you know, I think the way that that it has been laid out, that it's really not just about identifying vulnerabilities, but it's about, you know, recognizing and pursuing opportunities as well. So, yeah, just happy to support.
Okay. Any other?
Reverend Blue?
Yes.
I was just thinking, for the benefit of the public who doesn't have a copy of the resolution in front of them, I'll just read the resolved clause that specifically refers to the content here. So, be it resolved that the CBOC accepts the recommendation of the working group and hereby identifies the large variety of needs experienced by youth and young adults aged 12 to 29, those living in the disadvantaged communities, as a community vulnerability and priority for the developer's 2025-2026 fiscal year, which begins April 1st, 2025 and concludes on March 31st, 2026. And be it further resolved that such needs include but are not limited to youth employment, job training for youth, youth apprenticeships, mentoring and life skills coaching for youth, financial literacy for youth, wraparound supports for youth, including transportation, food, and housing for youth, youth mental health, youth sports, after-school programming for youth, access to cultural spaces for youth, and any other such thing necessary for youth and young adults in the region as defined by the CBA to thrive.
Okay. Let me also add my support. In working with the BIS organization, they have focused on youth development, youth training, youth participation. This just falls in line with what they're also doing, but also gives us the emphasis with the community benefits agreement to even further that. So it's a good partnership. It was well done. I want to thank the committee for the thoughtfulness and the diligence and the work that you put through this. It's just kudos to just seeing how we're working together. So we've had our discussion. Any other discussion?
I'll just make one final comment.
Yes, sir.
I promise. Just on behalf of us at the Buffalo Bills, our leadership, those of us who are on this committee, we also very much appreciate the collaborative efforts to get us to this point. As Member Mo mentioned, we had some really rich dialogue. We really dug into a lot of great research, and we relied on the expertise of the members of this committee. There are many members here who have been on the ground, in the trenches of the community, and we value the expertise and the experiences of this committee. So we appreciate it from the Bills to get us to this point in our collaboration.
Excellent. All right. Any other comments? Any other discussion? You've heard our discussion. Are we ready to vote?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Any abstentions? Abstentions? All right, unanimous. It's been approved. Thank you. Again, thank you, guys. You guys have worked real hard on doing this, and it's just a testament to the dedication of the committee. Community benefit updates.
Reverend Blue, I do have one more old business.
Okay.
I apologize.
Just go for it.
I wanted to make sure I address Ms. Connie Irvin from her community comments from our last meeting.
Okay.
And your comment was in regards to questions on whether or not Orchard Park development process would be inclusive of any MWBE vendors or opportunities therefor. From our perspective of the Buffalo Bills, that is solely being handled by the town of Orchard Park, and they do have a website talking about what their master plan is, and I'm happy to share with you what that website is. It is opstadiummasterplan.com.
Excellent.
That's it.
Okay. Updates. Community benefit updates.
So for the audience members, if you can't see the screen, we just ask you to move slightly to your right. We'll have it on the screen. And for our committee members, you have a handout in front of you as well. So initially, we were hoping for to show a video. This past April 4th, we had what's called our topping out ceremony. So we'll test out to see how this is going to go. Just because I know we've had some technical issues. I know how much the Bills mean to this community. It's part of the spirit, it's part of the identity, the grit, the hard work. And I really believe. I promise you it's a fabulous video. Due to technical difficulties, we'll send out the link. But it was a joyous occasion. We had members of our committee who was present, who was able to participate and enjoy it. Wanted to highlight a couple of our updates from that topping out ceremony. Overall, we're slightly above 50% completion of the stadium itself. The topping out signified the final steel structural beam that was placed. So now everything else will be on the outside of aesthetic, on the inside of functioning parts under construction. Currently, we have over 1,200 tradespeople that are active on the site, looking to increase that to somewhere around 1,500 daily. Soon coming up at the end of spring and summer. All of the precast concrete stadia, which is basically the seating bowl, is now complete. And then also the first piece of exterior precast panels was set at the beginning of March. So that's really the outer frame on top of that steel. So we're really excited to have many of our tradespeople who were able to attend the topping out ceremony as well. We had a number of elected officials that came from across the state. We've also had multiple U.S. representatives in attendance, and it really just highlights the tremendous support of the largest project in Western New York history. So I'm super excited about that. As a reminder of these next few slides, we always want to make sure we keep up who are our stakeholders as well as the different organizations that represent us throughout different phases of the project. This is the group that really helps oversee the workforce compliance of what we are managing and handling. And then here are some of the updates as recent as Q1 for this upcoming year. As you see, we continue to climb with the minority work hours. For our non-minority women work hours, still slightly below that 5%. We're currently working on opportunities with the Department of Labor, with developments by GEM, Gilbane and Turner, and also Erie County and SUNY Erie on opportunities to host a career event to help in the recruitment of more women and to provide opportunities on where jobs are currently available across our region. So that's a collaboration we're very excited about. We just had one of our first planning meetings for that last week. So we'll have more information as the meetings progress. From the business participation updates, this is, again, just highlighting where we currently are with the utilizations of minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, and service-disabled veteran-owned businesses. As highlighted, the goal has always been 36%. We are currently on track and pacing above that goal at 38.7%. Wanted to just highlight from Empire State Development, one of their key tweets that they posted out, just validating that we are in great positive progress and process with our business participation. And as one of the requests of this committee, and also for us to make sure we're providing the information, we wanted to highlight, again, the business participation and its impact across MWBE, SDVOBs, and the impact here regionally. Again, these notes have been consistent over the last 2 to 3 months. So there's no significant changes. We are now tracking the financial piece of everything. But what was highlighted in the last month's meeting from member Maria Way, that 25,000 or below at 39 does highlight a good number of MWBs, SDVOBs who are being contracted. And then here's just a top map or a heat map signifying where concentrated businesses lie. And then again, the prime contractors who we hire through Gilbane Turner and who we are responsible in hiring, then the subs are hired from them. Again, just to highlight, any bold names up here are located regionally. Those are regional primes that are contracted, which means our economy here in Western New York continues to grow and prosper. Some of our more up-to-date information points, again, just a highlight on what it says in the community benefits agreement in regards to post-construction operations. So key highlights from there, always continuing our meetings and planning and research. The general manager and executive chef position has been posted, and they are a little bit deeper into that process. I have a few more updates on legends there. I want to give a huge shout out to Developments by Jim, who's our community engagement coordinators. They had a chance to wrap up the second cohort of regional MWBEs who were, or I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Regional small businesses who were applying for both New York State and Erie County MWBE certifications. So this is the second cohort where they had over 37 businesses pre-screened, 23 were able to move on, and right now we have 5 that have submitted their applications thus far, but Developments by Jim is working with them one by one to make sure all of their paperwork, all of their screening processes are clean and ready to submit. So this is the second cohort, which takes us up to around 50 regional businesses that have benefited from these workshops, and it's totally free of charge for those businesses. So, concessions. New update for our team. Want to make sure that we provided a high-level time frame of where we are, what's on the horizon, to help better prepare anyone who's being involved. So right now, we just ended Q1, and those two key highlights there was posting 2 critical positions, which is the GM for Legends and the executive chef, as well as to further develop the technology needs of the operations of how we'll move forward with Legends. In addition to that, right now, as we're entering Q2, we'll be looking at interviewing and posting new opportunities for Director of HR as well as Director of Sales. This is where a lot of the personnel logistics is taking place in those key roles. For example, the general manager as well as the executive chef will be vital for us on those steps with working with the small businesses and the vendors in the region. So somewhere around Q3, Q4, that's where we'll really start looking at opportunities and mapping out community huddles with the community. We'll have Developments by Jim work with us, Legends, as well as any other groups to help with those community huddles to get information out and also to hear back. So look out for more information on those pieces. Another compliment. Call me Tony again.
Sorry.
We're looking to do that around Q3. It's not listed in there, but that's where critical people are going to be staffed and critical information still needs to continue to be researched. So we'll be looking to conduct those community huddles around.
So, Penny, before we get to the next part of the presentation, just to stay on the post-construction operations, I commend you and the builds on where you are in terms of the goals right now. So, thinking about post-construction, maintenance and operation, as well as construction, you have a very ambitious goal, 30% and 6% to reach in terms of minority and women participation. Is this something that, I mean, we're a year out. Do you feel comfortable or confident to say that you guys can meet these goals by the time we open the stadium next summer, early fall?
Yeah, but we are moving forward with our plan to ensure that we put forth every effort that's commercially reasonable to ensure that we are moving towards those goals.
Well, we appreciate hearing that, because I think that's, I think we've spent a lot of time since we started this group talking about construction, and now it's time to move over to the next phase of post-construction. We just want to make sure, I think with the construction, we kind of came late into the game, but with the post-construction, we just want to make sure that, the same effort is put into place in trying to meet these goals, and that members of the community are able to benefit from the opportunities, even from security firms around Western New York, to the maintenance piece, to make sure that folks have an opportunity.
Absolutely, and to your point, the lessons learned and the opportunities that were afforded from learning from the construction process, we've taken into account for the concessions, maintenance, and operations. So a lot of that information and those processes, we are also engaging.
And you guys are looking at that as long-term contracts, long-term investments. It's not simply going to be something that's showcased, you know, initially during the opening or the first few years. This is something that you guys are looking to develop long-term relationships with these operations.
Yeah, our commitment again is the 33 years, so we know that much from the CBA. So as we engage with each vendor, each opportunity with a business partner, we look at where the needs and opportunities are together.
Go ahead.
Penny, you just sort of referenced some of the lessons that have come from the construction phase of the stadium project. Can you reflect, tell us a little bit about those lessons? What would you say are the top three?
Absolutely. So one of the top threes is looking at who currently has those certifications across New York State and in Erie County. That's also part of the reasons why we were proactive in hosting those MWBE certification sessions with Developments by Gen. Right now we're at 50 businesses that are in that process of getting their certification. So that was one proactive measure that we engaged with. The second one is looking at the community and saying, all right, let's get information out and to gain. So part of that was with the community huddles that we did in the previous construction side. We want to do the same exact thing with Legends, and they are well aware and they are open and want to participate. So we'll have community huddles engaging in different parts of our county so community members can come learn and also share. So those were two of the top lessons that we've learned, and then also continue to provide updates as they become available. One of the greatest lessons we've learned is that there may be a great want and need for certain information, but if we're not prepared to share that information yet, we don't want to put misinformation into the public. We don't want to put false expectations out there as well. So we're very conscious of what type of updates that we want to provide at the best appropriate time.
One of the barriers that has always plagued our community is transportation. And we know the Bills Stadium, and that the NFTA has tried to help on game days, but with this ambitious goal of having these contracts filled by the community, is there any talk about transportation to ease the transportation crisis that we have?
In regards to transportation, we do recognize that in the CBA, we have the transportation hub. So we've been working with NFTA on what that hub's gonna look like, what's it gonna mean for opportunities for the community to get to and from the stadium safely and consistently. And part of that will also have a public hearing. So we look to host something of a public hearing either in late spring, early summer of this year, where we can gather some of that information. So until then, as far as transportation lines, things of that nature, we're continuing to focus on the hub currently, but there's already links through NFTA to show what transportation lines are accessible through Orchard Park.
I was going to save my questions till the end, but
Roll.
So I guess I'm wondering, Penny, I appreciate what you've done with this slide, and definitely this is a lot more information than we've heard so far about the operations side of the equation. So I really appreciate the increased clarity here. What I'm wondering about is at what juncture, and maybe it's not on the slide because, you know, it's still a little bit unclear, but at what juncture do you believe Legends would then actually confirm contracts with the vendors to reach the 30% procurement? Like, would that happen after Q1 of 2026?
I'm not prepared to answer that right yet. There's still conversations to be had.
Sure. Okay, I mean, I imagine that's where, I ask because I suspect that's where this is going, right? Like, if you are in the process of working with Developments by Jim to hold additional meetings with women and minority-owned small business organizations that are hoping to become certified, what I hear you saying is that, you know, you're getting 50 new organizations certified, but that does not necessarily mean the developer will be, or Legends rather, will be contracting with them. It just means that you're helping them get certified so that potentially in the future they could be engaged in a potential contract with Legends. Is that accurate?
Correct.
Yeah.
Our mission with getting small regional businesses certified was a holistic approach for any business to take advantage of. Now, something that was important for us, because that's also part of UCBA in support of small regional businesses as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate, I desperately think it's good in any time we can grow our small business sort of infrastructure and support them in getting certified. But I just wanted to make sure that we make clear to the public whether or not that certification directly links them to a potential contract or not. And it sounds like
it does not.
It does not.
There's no guarantee that you will be contracted if you go through one of those workshops or programs to get certified.
Okay.
It just makes it an opportunity to apply.
Right. Uh-huh. And at least at this juncture, there's no clarity yet about when the concessionaire, namely Legends, might engage them in a petitional contract, potential contract. So presumably that will be forthcoming.
More to come.
Yes, more to come. Yes.
Okay.
Just a few highlights on some of the bills in the community recap. We had the heartbeat where Buffalo Bill supported Say Yes on the Saturday Academy of Black Family Wellness Expo. We did the Teen Smile where we hosted a number of local youth and families to receive dental care right at our Highmark Stadium. And then also the high school girls flag football. From a personal perspective, I got to volunteer for this one. The vibes and the energy and the competitiveness of those young ladies, phenomenal. It was a great weekend. We had over 65 teams from Section 6 and Section 5. Yeah. It was actually, I believe, the first year the Buffalo Public Schools were able to engage and had teams present. So we were super excited to have just the diverse number of teams, watching them just take it all in, and our Buffalo Bills community impact team and youth sports team did a phenomenal job on those. As always, highlighting the efforts on how we communicate out these meetings. Shout out again, Thumbs by Jim. I feel like I'm shouting you out every single breath, so it's all right. They highlight our efforts, communicate out on our behalf, as well as getting the information out to local regional media. And then, Maria, drum roll, please. Our CBA-specific website.
This is
our website. We wanted to provide a central location where anyone from the community, any different organization, can fully understand and comprehend what the CBA is, how the Community Benefits Oversight Committee has an integral part into that. There are connecting links to the CBOC website, which is housed on the Erie County website. As well as our annual report and the two specific ways on how to request donations / sponsorships and or funding from the Bill Foundation. As a reminder, we said this in the last meeting, our community benefits agreement is an aggregate of a number of ways that the Buffalo Bills invest in the community. Parts of that includes the Buffalo Bills Foundation, where there are grants available. And that also includes opportunities for donations and sponsorships for different events. So we added those two direct links from this CBA link, as well as provide an additional method for the community to share with us what they believe the community vulnerabilities and priorities are. So we created a stack form. So instead of waiting for an annual hearing, you can do that at these meetings. You could do that at the annual hearing. You could contact me directly. And now you can also do that on our website through our staff board. So wanted to highlight those opportunities for the new CBA website. And I'll pause there. That's my last live update. I'm happy to answer any additional questions.
Penny, on the Team Smile event, that was a fantastic event. Lots of kids from all across the region. I had a chance to stop by and just see the work that is done. And I think it creates an opportunity for you know, families that often do not have time to get dental care for their children to have access. So that was a great event. The CVOC meeting, I just, one of the things that we've asked for, I think it was about two meetings ago, was having 6 months in advance meetings and location. I just want to point that we're still waiting for that, yes, for that to be identified. I mean, it's not for us, it's really for the public, to make sure that the public knows for the next 6 months, the meeting here is where the meetings will take place in terms of location, but we're still waiting for that.
Yeah, we are working with the county on that. We are waiting on a few members to share with us their availability for that. So hopefully we'll have that in the forthcoming meeting or prior.
So if you didn't get back to Tony, get back to Tony. Is that what you're saying?
If you didn't get back to me, I'm
going to Penny.
Yes.
Any other questions?
Maria?
Yes. So I really appreciate the launching of this website. Penny, can you say, is this website linked to the Buffalo Bills Foundation website, or tell us a little bit more about where we would find it?
It is. If you look on the center photograph right underneath where it says, please note information for donation requests, for sponsorship, autographed items, and fan packs can be found here. That's a link to the donation request. Right below that, individual or information regarding the Buffalo Bills Foundation can be found here. And if you click on that, it'll take you right to our Buffalo Bills Foundation.
And then these are live links, presumably to the community benefits agreement itself?
Correct.
Yes. I mean, I appreciate the, I think this is definitely an improvement. I still advocate strongly in favor of a public-facing portal that would allow the public to directly apply for resources. So I will take some time and explore this a little bit and see what recommendations I might have related to that. And I guess the only other thing I was going to ask about, and I'm not sure if this is a new business item or if we should handle it now, but now that the fiscal year has officially closed, the 2024-2025 mm-hmm. fiscal year, will we anticipate the annual report in approximately July? Can you please remind me of the timing on that?
Yeah, let me go back to one question about where resources are available.
Okay.
The two hot links are active
please.
Links that
yeah.
you just asked about.
Yes.
For clarity,
yes.
you can request resources through there because, again, the Bills Foundation, parts of that, as well as our request for donation sponsorships, those are aggregates that count towards the CBA.
Right.
So, in all technicalities, those are resources currently available to anyone applied within those specific areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the Bills Foundation is a focus mm-hmm. on healthy eating.
Mm-hmm.
So there are grants in food insecurity. There are grants available for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to that, to answer your question on the due date, yes, it is due 120 days since the last day of the fiscal year.
Okay.
So that's July 29th. So
July
we'll have
29th. Okay.
the annual report for our committee and publicly on July 29th.
Okay, so the reason I raised that is I thought that it would be important to, you know, to identify things in that report that should be, that could be better clarified from last year's report. You know, among those things, I think include the amount of in-kind contributions versus cash contributions, the amount of contributions that came from the Buffalo Bills Foundation versus in relation to the CBA itself. I appreciate that both are included as part of the CBA and support from the foundation is, identified in the CBA as relevant, but in the most recent Buffalo News article, it indicated that you guys were anticipating having spent already over $3 million unrelated to the Buffalo Bills Foundation. So I think it's important in the annual report that we clarify some of those things for the public. So we'll be on the lookout for that. And I think we should consider, you know, how to kind of standardize that reporting so that from one year to the next, it is consistent.
And thank you so much for that, Maria. Yeah. I know that was feedback both yourself and Mo provided me as part of one of our working sessions. So yeah. We took note of that, and we'll make sure that we have that clarity in our next annual report.
Great.
You have the questions? All right, any new business? No new business. We'll go to public comments. Any public comments? Please state your name. Thank you. Any other public comments? You guys are making this easier. All right. If there's no other public comments, I want to thank each and every one of you for coming to the meeting. We need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
So moved.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.